wee chorus is, since Jesus came into this town, the devil's been wearing a frown. Many souls have been saved, many homes rearranged since Jesus came into this town. Praise the Lord, and may there be many more brought to Jesus Christ even this night. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Let's pray together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come together round thy precious word tonight. And we know, Lord, that this is thine infallible book. We thank thee, Lord, that we can stand upon it with certainty tonight, for thy word, it'll never fail. We thank thee, O God, the promises that you've given in are given to us in this book. They're yea and amen to us who are in Christ Jesus. We can claim them. We can stand upon them. We can rejoice in them. And, O God, we can face the battle with them because thy promises are true. Lord, I pray tonight that some precious soul or souls in this gathering will claim the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And grant, Lord, that some man or woman, young person may turn from their sin and turn to the Savior, knowing that Jesus Christ can really change their hearts and lives. Since Jesus came into my heart, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, may that be true of precious souls in this meeting tonight. Those who are listening in, we pray that you'll call them with that effectual call of thy grace. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory. Amen. Amen. In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ returned to Nazareth. That was the place where the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in and was brought up in. And in the chapter 4, in the verse number 16, it says, "And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Thank God he knew exactly where to look, because it's just his precious word. And so when he found the place where it's written, these are the words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Lord Jesus Christ said that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to bring healing to the brokenhearted. He came to bring deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. And as you read the gospel, and you read the story of the Savior as he walked this scene of time, that's exactly what he did. He came to do all of those things, and praise God, he did them. And thank God there were those that were bound and fettered by sin, but praise God, he came to set them free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In the 8th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, it says, "It came to pass afterward that Jesus went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." You notice he went into every city and village. In other words, there was no place too big, but there was no place too small for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He came to where there were needy souls. Whether it was the vast crowds of the city, whether it was the small crowd of the village, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, he went throughout every village or every city and village. He didn't forget any of them. preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And I want us to come tonight. I want us to come to a passage of God's word just to show you what Jesus did. Do you remember what he came to do? The Bible said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to send me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised." And I want us to see how the Lord Jesus Christ did this in the life of a precious soul. No city too big, no village too small. No person, my friend, no matter how great, but the Lord Jesus Christ came with the same message to them as the poor lost soul, the castaway. Because thank God that's what he does. He takes the man or woman from the dunghill of sin. No matter where they are, no matter what, as far as the world is concerned, the standing that they might be in. Thank God every sinner meets the Savior at the same place, at the foot of the cross. And you've got to do it. You've got to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you here this passage of God's word that we read here in Luke's Gospel chapter 7 from verse number 36 to the end of this chapter. And I want us to notice there are three people that are mentioned here in this story. We find that there's a Simon here. And then we find that there's a sinner here. But glory to God, we find there's a Savior here. And I want us to look at those three people. The Simon and the sinner and the Savior. Now, whenever you come to God's word, you'll find that Simon was a common name. In actual fact, there are nine Simons that are mentioned in the word of God. Two of the 12 apostles were called Simon. There was Simon Peter, and then there was Simon the Canaanite. And so we find that Simon was a common name in the New Testament. But the Lord Jesus Christ draws us to attention here to a particular Simon. And the Bible says in verse number 6, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would enter, that he would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And so we find here is Simon, the person who invited the Lord Jesus Christ into his home. Now that sounds good, that this man wants Jesus to come in to his home. But friend, there's something missing. He never wanted Jesus in his heart. He was willing to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into his home. Now, why did he do that? Was this indeed a gracious invitation, as it seems here? He desired the Lord Jesus to eat with him in his house. A kind thought, you might say. But the first thing the Savior tells us here in his book is this. One of the Pharisees desired him. Now, Simon was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees in the Bible, friend, were not those that loved Jesus. The Pharisees in the Bible were not those that were indeed righteous people. They were religious people, but they weren't righteous. And friend, you could find that they're remorse filled with religious people, but that does not mean that they're right with God. And here we find this man was a religious person. The Bible says he was a Pharisee. And for a Pharisee to desire the Lord Jesus Christ into his home, it was an unusual invitation, because Jesus was not really welcome in the home of a Pharisee. Of course, the Lord Jesus knew the heart of the Pharisee. You read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel and you see these words repeated over and over again in verse number 13, 14, 15, 23, 25, 26, 27, 29. Woe unto thee, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! That's what Jesus called them. He called them whited sepulchres. You see, they were white as far as religion was concerned. They looked good. But they were dead. Spiritually to God, friend, they were a sepulchre. They were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. You know, man looks on the outward appearance. And God looks in the heart. And as God looks into this congregation, I wonder what God sees. As God looks into your heart, into my heart, what does God see? When God, the Lord Jesus looked into the hearts of the Pharisees, he said, you're only hypocrites. You were actors. You were acting religious. But they weren't righteous. They were not right with God. In actual fact, they never wanted the Lord. They planned and schemed to put the Lord Jesus to death. But here we find this man gives an unusual invitation to the Lord Jesus. He desired him. You might ask, what would make him do that? Well, let's be honest. He had an ulterior motive. It wasn't that he desired Jesus. It wasn't that he desired Jesus to take over his heart and become his Lord and his Master. But he did desire the Lord Jesus to come and to eat with him in his house. And Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He didn't say, I'm not going to come to your place. But no, he was invited and Jesus Christ did what was expected of the Savior of mercy and grace. He came. But not only was it an unusual invitation, it was an uncordial invitation. Because you see, why I say to you there had to be another motive for why this man wanted Jesus in his house was this, is what was missing when Jesus came. Now I want you to notice, Jesus noticed what was missing. Go on down the chapter in verse number 44. He says, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Verse number 45. Thou givest me no kiss. Verse 46. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Jesus saw what he didn't do. And those things, friend, let me tell you, if the Lord Jesus Christ had been a welcome guest, these things would have been done. But they were missing. But you notice Jesus noticed it. And Jesus confronted Simon with those things that were missing. Lord Jesus didn't paint over the cracks, you know. The Lord Jesus Christ brought him face to face with his own heart. And that's what I pray tonight with all my heart, that as you listen to the word of God tonight, that the Spirit of God will bring you face to face with your own condition before God, not somebody else's condition. It's so easy to judge somebody else and say, like the Spirit, you're not my brother but my, nor my sister, but it's me, dear Lord. Oh, no, no, it's not me, dear Lord, it's my brother and sister. They stand in need of prayer. See, my friend, listen. It's so easy to point the finger at others. I remember a wee man used to come to Macrofelt years ago. When I came to Macrofelt, and he came to the services every Sunday, very, very faithfully. But he came to Saturday night, he always went to the local pub in Kern. And he sat there upon the seat, and many people laughed and said they didn't know whether Matt was holding up the bar or the bar was holding him up. But Matt used to go into that pub and he used to talk. It was a Fox and Pheasant, that's what it was called. And he used to say to them, you know, I'm going to McCrea's meeting tomorrow night. You know you need to be saved. And Matt was preaching to them, but he wasn't saved himself. See, he knew. He knew the truth. But he wasn't saved. And you know, whenever you challenge him sometimes about his need of salvation, I remember one time he said to me, he says, you know, there's a woman lives beside me, Mr. McRae, and she goes to a certain church and she goes to a certain prayer meeting on the midweek prayer meeting, and she's a big Bible under her arm. It's actually bigger than herself. And she's the biggest hypocrite. And if that's what religion does for you or salvation, I don't need it. Never send him up. Let me tell you something, friend. You see, the day when you call to stand before God, you not answer for her. If she's the hypocrite, God will find her out. It'll be you alone. Every man, the Bible says, shall give an account of himself. Oh, it's so easy to give account for somebody else and point the finger at somebody else. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. And Matt was pointing out what he thought she was. But that kept it away from him, he thought. But thank God, one night, under the preaching of God's word, the Holy Ghost got a grip of Matt. And God showed Matt his heart, not hers. And thank God, Matt got gloriously saved. Born again of the Spirit of God. Come on, friend. Here we find Simon and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he realizes. Yes, he didn't. When Jesus came into that home, he gave him no water for his feet. Now, why did Jesus mention that? Because of the customs of that day. You see, when a person came in the East, they had no socks on their feet. In actual fact, they had no shoes. They had sandals. And when they would walk the dusty highway, you can imagine just exactly the dust getting into the... And this was a feast they were coming into. So what was the custom to do? They would have a basin. And the foot would be put into the basin, and they would pour water over the foot to cleanse it. And then the other foot as well. Jesus says, you give me none. You didn't care that my feet weren't clean. And then Jesus said, listen, you didn't give me a kiss because we greet by shaking hands, although you can't do that these days. But that's our normal greeting. But in Bible times, they give a kiss. Do you remember whenever Judas Iscariot wanted to point out Jesus Christ to those who came to arrest him? What does the Bible say? That he kissed him. In actual fact, that word means he kissed him again and again on the cheek. He kissed him. It was a sign of friendship. And yet he was betraying him. The hypocrite. But the Lord knew exactly his heart. But you see, it was an insult that if someone was an invited guest and he wasn't greeted with that kiss, that was an insult to the guest. But Simon didn't do it. And then the Lord Jesus pointed out something else. He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, because in the case of an honored guest, it was customary for his head to be anointed by the host. But Jesus says, you didn't do that. You notice how the Lord Jesus knew every little thing that he left out. My dear friend, don't you ever think that the day you'll stand before God and the books of God are open, that God's going to forget your sin. Or God's going to overlook your sin, because the record's there. Not the life that you want others to think you live, but the life you did live. In the light or in the dark. Thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. And so whilst it seems that whenever this invitation was given, it looked good, but it was not an invitation of friendship. You see, At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the days of his popularity. The crowds were surrounding the Saviour. And Simon and some of his friends were at this feast, and they brought the Lord Jesus Christ for two reasons. First of all, curiosity. They were curious. Who is this man, Jesus? They were curious, but secondly, not only curiosity, criticism. They wanted to criticize the Savior, to find fault in him. Now listen to me. Before you say what a fool Simon must have been to do that, before you point the finger at Simon, friend, ask yourself the question. What have you done with Jesus? The word of God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The Savior standing there at the sinner's heart, longing, desiring to enter in and give you peace and pardon within your soul. He's at the door, but that's as far as he's got. If any man hear my voice and open the door. So before you point the finger at Simon, friend, remember this. There's three pointing back to yourself. What have I done with Jesus, which is called Christ? But notice not only the Simon of this passage, notice the sinner in the passage. Because the Bible says here, verse number 37, and behold, a woman in the city. Now the word hold means, it's a note of surprise. Behold, a woman of the city. Now there's no wonder that there's surprise about this woman entering here. Because listen, friend, number one, she wasn't invited. Number two, she wasn't wanted by Simon. Then you ask yourself, well, how did she get in? How did she get in? Why didn't Simon just throw her out? Again, let's go back to the custom. You see, if a major feast was being held and bringing an honored guest there, it was a custom in those days that in actual fact, that whenever a religious person was coming in and having a feast, that the door was open. That people could wander in off the street. They could not partake, they could watch. In actual fact, that made the person feel important, that made the host feel important, that people came in to see this great feast. Not, of course, a woman like this. Because who was she, friend? Let's be honest. She was a sinner. And that meant that she was a woman off the street. She was a prostitute. That's who she was. That's what her past was. That's why he should never have been invited in. Because as far as the community was concerned, she was an absolute outcast. She wouldn't have been wanted. That's why Simon said further down the scriptures, whenever Simon said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is. That touch of him. Why? Because as far as he was concerned, she's unclean. Unclean. And so we find this woman comes in. The dining rooms were very spacious. It wasn't private. It wasn't unusual for people just to wander out of the streets, as this woman did. But notice, she came with a purpose. Go back to verse 37. A woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, somebody told her that Jesus was there. I don't know who did, for the Holy Ghost doesn't tell me. But somebody told her that Jesus was in the house. Oh, I thank God for someone that told that poor sinner about Jesus. Let me ask this question. The sinners of Tremor tonight, have you told them? Have you? Have you invited them to the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember I was holding a mission down in Hillsborough. After the meeting was over, I would the joy of leading a precious soul to Jesus Christ. And then they would have some eatables there for the people at the or the preacher and his friends at the end of the service. I came out of the inquiry room. A man came to me and he said to me, "Brother McCray, I want you to speak to this woman." And the woman was sitting in tears. And as I spoke to her, she said, "This is what she said to me. She said, you know, I have brothers that are saved. And they've never once invited me to Jesus. But she said, tonight as I was waiting, just waiting because the tea was being made, my friends were making the tea. That man over there, he was sitting in the other end of the seat and he came up the seat and he came beside me and he said, he spoke to me. And he asked me, are you saved? She says, I'm not. He said, would you not like to be saved? She said, sir, I would love to be. But nobody has ever asked me. And I was afraid to go into the inquiry room without being asked. But thank God that man asked her that night. And she could gloriously and wonderfully save by the grace of God. Somebody you know, maybe in your family, somewhere in your neighborhood, somebody in Tremor, maybe the countryside, they need you, friend, to tell them about Jesus. They need you to invite them to Jesus. Will you do it? Are you burdened? Few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Oh God, touch my heart. Oh God, fill my life. And give me souls each day. She heard, but notice, when she heard that Jesus had come, she knew more than that, because it said this: she brought an alabaster box of ointment. That was the most precious possession she had. Her precious alabaster box of ointment. And she came to the feet of Jesus, verse 38. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and had wiped them with the hair of her heads. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. You say, how did that happen? How did that really happen? She stood at his feet behind him, and she wept over the feet of Jesus. I'll tell you simply, friend, because there's another custom. Whenever you're invited to such a special feast like that, quite often the person would recline upon a seat or a couch, and they would lean like that, and they would take the food from the table, and they would lie along the couch, and the feet were where? not under them, behind them. Now this woman didn't brazenly walk in and just stand front face to face with Jesus, no friend. This woman came in with a broken heart. And she came behind him. And she knelt down at the feet of Jesus. And she washed her feet, his feet, with her tears. See, as far as man was concerned, she was enjoying her sin. But that night as she knelt at the feet of Jesus, crying out of a broken heart, she was broken over her sin. And friend, it's not until you're broken over your sin, until you acknowledge your sin, that you're the sinner before God, and repent of your sin, and be willing in God's name and by his grace to turn from your sin. Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That means you'll go to hell. If you don't repent of your sin. You know, we've got a message today, sad to say, many preachers are saying, make a little profession and just live then like the devil. After, I'm sure everything will be all right. It's a lie, friend. Jesus Christ, we sang that hymn tonight, not by chance, the Lord knew all about it. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When a man is gloriously and wonderfully saved and a woman's gloriously converted, glory to God, there's a change. Jesus comes in, but praise God when Jesus comes in and cleanses from sin in the precious blood. Hallelujah, the sin's got to go under the cleansing flow. Hallelujah, rolled away, the wee chorus. And the burden of my heart rolled away. And she came at the feet of Jesus and she knelt down at the feet of Jesus with a broken heart. Do you remember what he came? To heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty those that were bound. This woman had been bound by her sin. Oh, many times she affronted herself in front of mankind and led many a man astray into the depths of sin and broke many a heart and many a home. But she comes to the feet of Jesus and she humbles herself and she kneels down at his feet and she cries over the feet of the Savior. Remember when I was in Israel, one of the guides, he was talking about this woman. This is what he said to me. He says, you know, women in the Bible and New Testament, quite often when they shed their tears, they would gather their tears and they would put their tears in a bottle. The Bible talks about that. Put thou my tears in a bottle. And he said, you know, they'd wring out those tears into the bottle and then they would carry it with them. And that night, he said, that woman knelt at the feet of Jesus. She reached her hand into her little breast pouch and she took it out and she poured those cold tears of the past. And then she mingled with it the scorching warm tears of the present. That's why it says she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. Listen, friend. There's not one of us in this service tonight, not one, but has a past. I wonder, does the past convict you? Does it break your heart? Then the present, you're still without the Lord Jesus, still wandering down the road to hell. I wonder, does it concern you that if God was to cut you off tonight, you'd be in a lost eternity forever and forever and forever in the blackness of darkness in the pit of a lost sinner's hell for all eternity. And she knelt at the feet of Jesus. You know, Simon judged her. He said, you know, If this man's really who he is, he would know who and what she is. Friend, Jesus did know. I tell you what Jesus knew. He knew all. He didn't only know some. He knew it all. And he saw her broken heart. He saw her repentant soul. And she knelt at the feet of Jesus. That brings me lastly to the Savior. What did Jesus say? You give me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears. Let me tell you, friend, she wasn't saved by her tears. Many a man has been confronted with his past and his shed tears and gone out of a gospel meeting still unsaved and on his way to hell. The Lord Jesus said, you give me no kiss, but this woman, since she came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. She kissed and kissed and kissed the lovely feet of Jesus that one day would be nailed to a cross for sinners just like her. He says, you never anointed my head with oil, but this woman hath anointed my feet. No, she was happy to stay at my feet. She lingered at my feet. And you see that alabaster box of precious ointment. She just emptied it and poured all that she had just over the feet of Jesus. Notice she never spoke a word. Her actions spoke for it. You know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. You know what the Lord Jesus said, friend? He rebuked Simon. And then he received the woman. I love the way he said it, first of all, when he turned to Simon, he said, look at verse number 47. We'll soon be finished. I say unto thee, Simon, I want to tell you this thing. Her sins, which are many. See, the Lord knew all about her past. He says her sins are many. But he says they're forgiven. Forgiven. Tell me, how many of her sins were forgiven, friend? Them all. Them all. If you're in this meeting tonight and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel the burden of your sin, I want to tell you, my friend, in Jesus' lovely name, if you come as a sinner to Christ, glory to God, he won't turn you away. He'll receive you. He'll bring you into his family. Reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. Then he turned to the woman. And this is what he said. Thy sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. They're forgiven thee. He said to her. I want to tell you, no preacher can forgive you. No priest can forgive you. But thank God Jesus can. That's why he came. To seek and to save that which was lost. And then lastly, verse 50. I said your tears didn't save her. You know what Jesus said? Thy faith has saved thee. And thank God that night she was given, or that day she was given the gift of faith. F-A-I-T-H, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's it. turning away from everything else. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, hallelujah, the rock I stand, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise God. He said, thy faith has saved thee. And then he said these words, go in peace. He rebuked Simon. He received the sinner. And glory to God, he gave her rest. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Tell me, do you know anything about it tonight? Now, that woman went home that night. The Lord Jesus said, go in peace. For the first time in her life, she put her head on the pillow and thank God she no longer carried the burden of her sin. But she carried the peace of God in her heart. And if you let go of your sin tonight, you come as a repentant sinner to Jesus Christ, I want to promise you these words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? That's the only thing that's going to matter. Nothing else is going to count, friend. See, when they're carrying you down the road, doesn't matter whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, you're carried the same level. Same direction. And you're laid in the grave. But your soul's already in God's eternity. And if you're saved, you'll be in heaven. And if you're not saved, you'll be in hell. And those that are in heaven will never want back. And those who are in hell will never get back. What's your answer to Jesus tonight? Will you be like that wee woman? Yes, you had a sinful past. But praise God, here's a glorious future. Sins forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of everyone in this meeting or those that are listening. There's someone, Lord, listening to the sound of my voice tonight and they're not saved. Oh God, I beg you in Jesus' name, Spirit of God, draw them. Oh, that they might experience the wonderful gift of faith tonight. Surrendering and coming to Jesus Christ as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And praise God, you promised to take them in and save them and cleanse them and give them thy peace which passeth all understanding. And glory to heaven at the end of the journey. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder tonight, is there someone here and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, young person or older person? You know about him, but you don't know him. You've heard about him, but you've never been healed by him spiritually. Your sin's sick soul. You say, William, if I come tonight, will he save me? Praise God, he will. If you call upon him, praise God, he'll answer prayer. The meeting's over in a moment, friend. Can I say this? Whilst others are leaving, please, dear unsaved, do not leave, or backslider. Wandered away from the Lord. Once you walked with him, but you've wandered away, you're cold in heart. get back to him. He loves you still. I'll gladly wait. I'll be here in the pulpit. Friend, come and speak to me. I'll show you from God's word how you can really know you're saved and be sure of heaven. But don't leave without Christ. Come tonight. Heavenly Father, separate us with thy blessing. Follow after men and women as they leave the pew. But turn their hearts to the only one who can save them, thy lovely Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.